910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. No word yet on a death toll following a devastating tornado that tore through the small town of Greenfield, Iowa, southwest of Des Moines on Tuesday. Officials only saying there are multiple fatalities. Growing support for Palestinian statehood.
Ireland, Norway, and Spain are announcing that we recognize the state of Palestine.
Ireland's Prime Minister Simon Harris making that announcement in response to the war in Gaza, joining roughly 140 other countries that recognize Palestine as a state, Israel denouncing the decision. The judge overseeing former President Trump's classified documents case in Florida set to hear arguments today over an effort by Trump's co-defendant, Walt Nauta, to get his charges dismissed. The Biden administration canceling student loans for another 160,000 borrowers through a combination of existing programs. The relief will erase $7.7 billion in federal student loans. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. People across Wisconsin are waking up to power outages, downed trees, and other storm damage. In the Madison area, more than 40,000 people lost power. In Green Bay, roofs were ripped off buildings. A few thousand are without power this morning in the Eau Claire area. This list just goes on and on. While there were tornado warnings throughout the evening, straight-line winds are often responsible for the majority of this kind of damage. You'll want to leave yourself extra time as you drive the kids to school or head into work. And the Poet Laureate of the United States will be here in Wisconsin Thursday. Ada Limon was given the title in 2022. This is part of a series hosted by the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. She'll be speaking at the Overture Center's Playhouse at 7, and tickets are still available. If you're not near Madison, there are watch parties statewide in Ashland, Eau Claire, Sheboygan, Verona, and Viroqua. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. As the Duluth area sees a rise in fatal car crashes, law enforcement authorities attended a workshop for the Minnesota Towards Zero Deaths program on Tuesday. The goal of the program is to reduce fatalities and serious injuries from crashes, and since its implementation in 2003, traffic-related deaths have fallen by 37%. Department of Transportation officials say there's been 129 fatal crashes already this year, which have killed over 40 pedestrians on the roadways and over 200 crossing intersections. Twin Ports Trailer Trash has announced it will expand its services in the Duluth area. According to a Fox 21 report, beginning on June 1st, the company will be adding a drop-off location for residents' junk. Customers can stop by the company's Duluth location to have an employee assess the load of their junk, determine a cost for taking it off their hands, and either unload it themselves or get assistance from the company if it's needed. For details on what can be dropped off and when, residents can visit the company's website. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' Christian Yelich with a dramatic triple in the eighth to drive in the go-ahead runs led to a Brewers 7-5 victory last night over the Marlins. Pat Murphy says don't forget about the performance of their two rookie pitchers, Robert Gasser to start and Tobias Myers to get the W.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That helped us immensely. But the Marlins getting back in it is what hurts us. Tobias Myers, he got two rookies throwing seven innings. That was big.
NFL Packers OTAs continue in Green Bay. Some injured players, tight end Tucker Kraft recovering from a pectoral injury. New running back Josh Jacobs with a hamstring. Wide receiver Christian Watson was asked how he's doing after attending sessions at UW-Madison on overcoming his chronic hamstring issues.
I definitely feel like I'm at 100%, but I mean, there's still a little bit of asymmetry there, and that's just something I'm attacking, you know, with the training staff in the weight room. Obviously, just got to continue to get that right so there's not any risks in the future.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy this morning. We may catch an isolated shower or thunder shower this afternoon, but we will see a little more sunshine later today, too. It'll be breezy with a high of 66 this afternoon. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. A late day shower, 74, with more rain and thunderstorms late tomorrow night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So, I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we'll be talking about all the things that are wrong with Justice Samuel Alito and be joined by two reporters from the Journal Sentinel talking housing.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like a style. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It was a stormy night last night, but I think we're on the other side of it.
You get a lot of rain and wind out by you?
It definitely rained for at least 3 or 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was most of it, we didn't get that kind of rain. What about wind?
I definitely heard it as I was getting ready for bed, and it was thundering and lightning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, man, it's hopefully we're past it for a little while, right?
Yeah. I just looked at the forecast, and it looks like after this wind blows through this morning, it's going to get sunny for a couple days.
Look, man, it's Wednesday, so as always, we've got Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, on board. But, man, I got so much to talk about today. I could actually do, 6 hours of radio, Calvin. And I thought about you when I was going through and preparing for today's show, and I read this article, and it was in the USA. It's in the USA Today. And it's about a graduate, a young college graduate. And she said, instead of feeling excitement, she's feeling and pride and clarity. She's fighting hopelessness. And she kind of attributed it to the fact that her final year, these are the graduates. The final year of their high school, Calvin, was stolen from them because of COVID.
Yeah. I mean, so COVID happened in my junior year of college.
Oh,
we got
really?
Sent home. So I was not, I didn't have my high school affected, but I did have my college impacted. And I can definitely relate to the feeling of as you're approaching graduating, there's a lot of fear and anxiety that I felt. I didn't know what I was going to do.
That's kind of what she's saying here. And I don't know if 844-967-2789 is the number. And I don't know, Calvin, if generations before ever felt like, I thought when you graduated from college, you're supposed to feel exuberant. And, this is behind us. We've done all of this. And now we get a chance to go off into the real world. We're armed with a college degree, which means we're going to be successful. Let's have at it. Let's get this thing going.
I think you're totally on base is how you're supposed to feel. But I think the reality for a lot of kids graduating today is if, and I guess this is partially on them, choosing careers that don't have definite defined career out, or choosing majors and degrees, yeah, that don't have defined career outcomes at the end. Like if you go to school to be an accountant, you're pretty clearly going to have somewhere to land after that. But when you go into something like political science or the humanities or communications or things like that, it's less clearly defined what you should be going into. So there's definitely a lot of
anxiety. So I don't know, Calvin, if what this woman was trying to point out was based on her career path or career choice, as much as it was looking at the world as she enters into it and being terrified of the way things are headed. And she was not really focusing on her particular choice of a career choice. So 11 days before I graduated college, university police incited violence on a group of students peacefully protesting the ongoing genocide in Gaza. The situation got so bad that my house right on the outskirts of campus became an oasis for protesters as smoke bombs and pepper spray polluted the air. As I took care of my peers, providing them food, water, and a safe place and a space to check on friends and secure a safe way home, I was filled with anxiety and trepidation. Graduation was drawing near, and accompanied with the canon feeling that come with closing such an important chapter came new feelings of hopelessness and even deeper existential dread. I was ashamed to be a part of an institution that would sic military-level violence on students. But was the world I was about to enter any better? If anything, what happened at my school is a reflection of our current state. Now, I think this is a young lady, Calvin, who clearly is a deep thinker. And she's seeing a whole world and trying to discern her place in that world that she feels is kind of unjust, unjust. And, your thoughts on, that way of thinking for.
Yeah. I mean, I did never experience anything like that while I was attending school, so I can't really relate it to my educational experience. But as far as being a young person and looking at the world right now, yeah, it's scary. Like, I'm not sure. I feel like we're on a very narrow path that if anything goes wrong, we'll be knocked off and it could be disastrous.
She said, when I first started college, I thought I'd have everything figured out by graduation. you don't figure it all out, in your first year out of college. Life is a winding road that even towards the end of it. I remember reading a wise man who said, it takes until you're 70 years old to really figure out life. And by the time you reach 70, your life is about over. So, you're not going to figure it out once you come out of college. I thought my degree paid in gray hairs and sleepless nights would grant me clarity through life's unyielding ambiguity. Let me skip to this. I've tried to find ways to avoid the reality. I toiled with the idea of grad school, not because it's something recommended for my field of study, but because it's hard to fathom not being bound to a collection of letters, I can imagine how I'll navigate my life without the structure and community that school provides. Sound anything familiar to you?
Oh, for sure. I definitely thought, well, I had the thought that I could go to grad school because I liked school and I was comfortable in school. So why not keep going to school? So yeah, I definitely totally relate to her feelings there.
The loneliness of post-grad life is daunting. While I still retain the many relationships I've cultivated, the lack of proximity will prove an immutable barrier. The 5-minute walk to meet each other will turn to hour long drives. And soon enough, we'll be too busy with our own lives to reconnect. And this newfound isolation will bring forth painful introspection, making the problems of the world even greater. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'd love to hear, you know, your opinions on this. For Generation Z, tainted milestones are our normal. Nevertheless, this is the first time I'll be entering a new chapter in my life while the world seems to crumble around me. I started college in August 2020, right at the apex of COVID-19 pandemic that had already sank its teeth into the last few months of my senior year of high school. The time was full of much uncertainty. I didn't even think I would be able to move into campus. And when I did, I was sure we would be sent home after two. The point that I would like to make in this article and this young lady and what she's feeling is she's not alone, Calvin, in how she feels and what she's saying. And I would ask those in the audience who graduated from college themselves, you know, it's what she's feeling. Is that, you know, the way it is? Is that the way it was when you graduated? Are these normal feelings? Or is this something about a generation of young people who don't understand that every generation had its challenges? That's a part of the life. Nobody gets away. Life is tough. It's hard. There is no easy answer to life. You've got to live it. And it's full of ups and downs. And, you know, nobody can be protected from it. And so when you're in college, that's a wonderful time of your life when you know, you're kind of free to do your own thing and to explore. But, you know, that part of your life is over. And you can't stay there forever. Like, you couldn't stay in high school forever. You couldn't stay in middle school forever. You can't stay in college forever. The real world is frightening. And you can't get away from it. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts on the other side of the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789.
Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. So you can see what's going.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind, then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was talking about an article that I was reading this morning as I was in preparation for the show in the USA Today. It's from a young student who was graduating, just graduated, and she is terrified to go out into the real world. And she was talking about the things that are happening in the world around her. And these things seem to be frightening. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you took this thing back to my generation and people were graduating at the time of the unrest that existed all over the world, you know, people, you know, that's the life. And, you know, you've got to learn to face those things. That's what life is about, facing adversity and moving on. And young people of today will get over it. It may be frightening for them now, but they're more resilient than they would ever could ever think that they are. Let's go to the phone lines and David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Calvin. You know, when I went to the University of Minnesota, I loved every minute that I was there. I really did. I enjoyed my time in college. And when that ended, I had lots of opportunities to do whatever I wanted to. And yes, the world's a scary place, but reality kind of hit me a little bit in a different way. And I've repeated this to you in the past. You know, my mom didn't say anything that she was sick. And about a month after I graduated, I found out she had cancer and life turned. But the thing is, what my mom taught me as an early younger person is that there's going to be adversity in your life. There's going to be things that you're going to not even imagine. They're going to come out of left field and take you into areas that you have no idea that existed. And everybody has a different road. We all have different paths. You have a different path. Calvin has a different path. I have a different path. Your guests have a different path. And the thing is, with the world the way it is now, with this student that you're talking about, what I would say to that individual is this, is that, yeah, there are things that are going to be scary out there. There are going to be things that you're going to have to overcome. there are things that you're going to have to, you know, actually try something to maybe to move to that next stepping stone. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, I think life, as you have stated, Earl, is basically, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of things that can go wrong as you get older. And I know that you're in your 70s now, Earl.
I haven't sneezed hard enough yet, but I will be 70 next month. Don't put the cart before the horse. Whoa.
Okay. All right. Anyway, what I was going to say though was, but as we get older, we see loved ones and other things that pass away, and you try to take that knowledge and take it with you, and they can live within you. And
yes,
I think we have to realize that that is a part of life. We have to enjoy whatever time we have here, because you're right. I mean, before you know it, in, you know, 20 some odd years, I'll be in my 70s. And, you know, God willing that I can make it, you know, to that age.
Right.
But the point is that, you know, that is, you know, that's, I'm fortunate that this person is in that dilemma. But I think at the end of the day, as we get older, there's a lot of things that we keep on learning. And Calvin, you're a young guy. There's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be learning along the way that you have no idea that even would come to pass in your future. And
well, you know, Dave, that, you know, you hear the statement, the school of hard knocks. And those aren't just words. You know, life is full of ups and downs, and you know, chances go around. The same people you meet going up are the same people you'll meet coming down. Life is like that. And maybe it takes for a person to, as I stated before, you know, the way I see it today, I didn't see it that way at 22. Nobody. You can't learn life's complexities in a book. I don't care how high you reach acclaim with your educations. You can't live life in a book. You've got to live life in its reality. And that's every day. One day at a time. And as I stated before, the wise guy who said, you know, you don't understand it thoroughly until you get to be 70. And, you know, by the time you figure it out, you know, it's time to check out. Life wasn't meant to be discovered and understood in its totality at 22 years old, David.
No doubt about it. And, you know, what I know today now is a lot different than when I was certainly back in college. And, you know, I've made mistakes.
Hey,
I've learned
all
from
of
my
us.
Mistakes. Yeah. And I'm going to keep making mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're human. But the thing is, what I try to strive to do is, you know, I try to do the best that I can for myself, for my family. And I'm, you know, taking care of my dad now.
Hey, Dave. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we've got, listen, when we come back, I'm going to talk about, you know, a nightmare that's going on at the U.S. border. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A U.S. House committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. Parents of children harmed by social media say greater protections are badly needed and long overdue. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
It's going to be very upsetting to the parents, to so many people in this country who want to see this happen. They want to see big tech regulated. They don't want to see kids dying every day.
Tech companies are fighting sweeping change, citing free speech rights. All over Wisconsin, this year's Click It or Ticket campaign is underway. Memorial Day weekend is our unofficial start of summer, and every year, agencies and departments increase patrols around this time. All drivers and passengers are required by Wisconsin law to wear seatbelts while they travel. Click It or Ticket runs through June 2nd. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Public School Board is planning for massive cuts following the second narrow failure of a multi-million-dollar referendum. The district is expecting to make about $7 million worth of cuts over the next 2 years, with about $2.3 million in cuts expected for next school year. Officials say the school can cut back on things like staff travel and teacher overtime for next school year, but when they make larger cuts going into the 25-26 school year, it will be far more impactful on the school's students and staff. The first phase of a major road construction project in the city of Superior is underway. Roadwork on Hammond Avenue in Superior kicked off on Monday, closing traffic between Belknap and North 21st Street. The construction will include a new roadway, the installation of storm sewers and structures, and the addition of new pedestrian and bicycle facilities. Phase 1 is expected to be complete sometime around mid-October, and Phase 2 of the project will begin in 2025, closing North 21st Street to North 28th Street. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're wondering how long it takes to make a comeback in Hollywood after basically attacking a man on stage, the answer is a little over 2 years. That's how long it's been since Slapgate, featuring the humorless Will Smith, who slapped the much smaller Chris Rock in front of the entire world. Bad Boys 4, yawn, hits theaters June 7th, and now Deadline has announced a new Smith film called Sugar Bandits. Deadline reports that in Sugar Bandits, Smith plays a tough special forces op who takes out drug dealers in Boston. Cool. Drug dealers hate being slapped. Football player, excuse me, kicker, Harrison Butker has come under fire since his recent misogynistic commencement speech at Benedictine College. Pearl Jam singer Eddie Vedder shared his thoughts, telling a crowd during a concert in Las Vegas that people of quality don't fear equality. A nice little speech and a valid point, but kind of a bummer of an encore. Fans were probably hoping for Evenflo or Jeremy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy this morning. We may catch an isolated shower or thundershower this afternoon, but we will see a little more sunshine later today, too. It'll be breezy with a high of 66 this afternoon. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. A late-day shower, 74, with more rain and thunderstorms late tomorrow night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisisretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about the Postal Service. Journal Sentinel reporter John Dietrich and Dr. Laura Hanks for public service announcement. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yeah, hey. Once I was a bogey singer.
I did. To disco down and check out the show.
All right, welcome back to a Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, we've been hearing constantly about what goes on at the border and the reason there's so many gangs and the fentanyl crises that's happening at the border, and why so many people are at our border. And then you get a news story like this in today's USA Today. And I really want you to chime in on this, because this is at the root of what is going on in our nation that the American people are not aware of and don't have the information. And so this is in the USA Today, and it's an exclusive this morning. Hacked data reveals a new nightmare for the U.S. gun industry. A massive leak of Mexican military intelligence has exposed for the first time in two decades gun shops and smugglers tied to 80,000 firearms recovered south of the border, and which types of guns are being trafficked. The nuggets of information are among roughly 10 million records hacked by anonymous collectives known as the Guacamaya and shared with news outlets by transparency organizations. Despite the efforts to stem the flow of these firearms across the border that are at the root of the massacre that is taking place in Mexico and in Central America, those firearms come from gun dealers in America. What? So how are the guns getting into Mexico that caused the slaughter and the gangs that are creating the upheaval in Mexico and in Central America? We ask the question, and we talk about those drug dealers and the fentanyl that's crossing the border and that's killing the American people. And when you read this story, it tells you that those guns and weapons that they're using come from gun dealers. They know who the gun dealers are. They're arming the gangs. So if our government is aware of that, why don't they stop the gun dealers? Because they know who the gun dealers are, from selling the guns to the gangs that are selling the fentanyl, and the fentanyl getting across our border and killing the American people. As part of the leaked emails relaying U.S. government data between Mexico military leaders and PowerPoint presentations by Mexico's attorney general show which American straw buyers were tied to the most weapons sold as of 2022. Among them is Texas Craig Adlog. He pleaded guilty in 2020 for lying on the firearms transaction forms, saying the guns were for his personal use. He purchased 95 semi-automatic rifles at Guns Unlimited in Katy, Texas, making 7 visits over 2 months. Now, Calvin, he bought 95 automatic weapons in over 2 months from a gun store, and he was able to do that legally. Your thoughts?
Well, obviously, we've known in our country that we have a problem with how we sell guns. But I think as it relates to Mexico, we always perceive that what's coming from there to us is what's causing issues. And we never consider what's coming from us to them is exacerbating that and might even be the root cause of it.
Now, they recovered 66 of those 95 firearms were recovered in Mexico and in the hands of gangs that are slaughtering people. Reached by phone, Adlog told USA Today he was surprised he remained on the Mexican official's radar after serving a 6-month prison sentence. He said he made a mistake and he has put all of that behind him and he's living a normal life now. 844-967-2789. You know, to say that, you know, I bought 99 high-powered weapons and I sold them to gangs that are running drugs, and all he got was 6 months. How many more of him are there out there? And if 6 months is the only penalty that you get from that, then, you know, maybe I'm in the wrong business. Because the amount of money that he made for selling those weapons, 6 months hardly seems, you know, enough time. For heaven's sakes, if they catch you selling marijuana, you would get more time than that. There's something seriously wrong. Again, of the other 6 top purchasers, half are linked to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives scandal known as Fast and Furious. From 2006 to 2011, agents in Arizona stood down as straw buyers, illegally bought 2,000 guns at shops, intending to use information to track trafficking patterns and arrest the kingpins. However, agents didn't deliver the high-level arrest, and in the process, they lost track of hundreds of thousands of guns. Now, you know, at the root of this is they're able to get these guns and then, you know, peddle, because you can't deal drugs unless you're armed, especially on that major level. And I hear people talking about, you know, people at the border smuggling drugs into the country. What are we talking about? If we know there are American citizens and American companies supplying the arms, the high-powered arms, for people to sell across the border, to help them continue to perpetuate their drug sales that are killing the American people, I don't want to hear any more about Joe Biden is allowing drugs to come across the border. What are you talking about? Well, you know, Joe Biden, who's responsible for setting the laws in place that allow the gun dealers and gun manufacturers to set the stage for the people who are selling the guns to massacre other people in different nations? And then when we find one of our own or a few of our own, we slap them on the wrist. No telling how many people were killed with those high-powered weapons. And the question, 844-967-2789. How is it possible that one person can buy 99 high-powered weapons from a gun store in America in 2024. How is that possible? 844-967-2789. And the U.S. Border Patrol knows what is going on. Clearly, politicians know what is going on. They helped make the laws. They made it possible for this to happen. It's appalling, said Peter Farrelly, a retired alcohol, tobacco, and firearms deputy assistant director who recently wrote a book critical of Fast and Furious. This is a stain we all wear. We had a duty to stop the flow of guns, and we're failing. You know, I get it. We can be so in love with our nation that we become blinded. You know, we become blinded. I just don't understand. There's no comments. There's nobody calling to even have a conversation about this. And maybe it's because you're just hearing it for the first time. I get it. You know, I could say, well, Donald Trump, you know, is this and Donald Trump is that. And the phone lines will be lit up. For heaven's sakes. You know, when are we going? The lawsuit against American gun manufacturers and five Arizona gun shops, I think the average American would be surprised that the fentanyl crisis is nurtured because of the number of firearms going to Mexico to empower the cartels. And that's from an alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agent. American gun shops are selling guns that end up in Mexico. Partnering with the American Attorney's Office is going after Barrett, Beretta, Century Arms, Colt, Glock, Smith, and Western, and Strum, Rugger, and Company in a $10 billion suit that was revived by an appeals court in March. In a separate suit, they have accused five Arizona gun shops, many of which also appear in the hack data obtained by USA Today, of selling guns that crossed the border and were used in crimes. I say this because I know that that same reality happens in urban centers across the nation. People selling guns, American citizens, to young people in central cities across the nation legally and helping to foster the slaughter in central cities across the nation. A 13-year-old kid on Monday or Sunday night, I believe it was, killed two 14-year-olds in Milwaukee. Where did a 13-year-old get that weapon? And why are they so readily available to children in our community? 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl?
I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Yes, we ought to be outraged. Tony says this is not the border that people want to focus on. Republicans don't have talking points for this issue. They would rather ignore it. Now, here's another article in today's Washington Post this morning. Fentanyl is fueling a record number of youth drug deaths. This is May 22nd, which is today, 2024. This article in today's Washington Post talking about more and more young people dying from fentanyl. Fentanyl, a pervasive killer in America, illicit drug supplies increasingly landing in the hands of teens across the region and nation, worrying providers who say treatment options for youth are limited. Okay. Fentanyl continues to come in at record rates. I just explained to you, based on the article in the USA Today, how fentanyl is getting into this nation and how businesses and American citizens are selling guns to the gangs that provide the fentanyl to the young people who are dying in our country. Why are we not outraged? Not at the Mexican cartel, but at the people who are arming them legally. My God. You know, things just don't get any better. And then when you hear the truth, you just, maybe it's that people can't believe that this happens in our nation. And I think part of the reason that it happens in our nation is because so many of the American people are so preoccupied with who won the Masked Singer last night, you know, or whatever some of these other things that they have us preoccupied with. You know, game shows resurrected from the 1950s, you know. And so that's what they feed the American people, not truth. Across the country, fentanyl has largely fueled a more than doubling of overdose deaths among children ages 12 to 17 since the start of the pandemic, according to the Washington Post analysis of the Center for Disease Control Prevention data released this month. So why don't they tie in the people selling the guns to those people who are manufacturing the fentanyl and causing the death of the children? Why? Who's protecting the gun dealers? And why? This is a question. 844-967-2789. I don't really need any help. I carry this subject and this conversation myself for the next 300 days. because it's truth. It's 100% truth. And the fact that people won't even talk about, we can talk about, you know, P. Diddy, right? We can talk about Taylor Swift. We can talk about Caitlin Clark. We can talk about all those things that don't amount to a whole hill of beans. But the fact that young Americans are dying in the streets, it doesn't seem to even pique the curiosity of Americans. And I, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand. But I'm going to keep on sounding the alarm because somebody has to. And you can live in your comfortable lives and live, you know, in the environments and you know, cut off the radio. And you're not going to get away from the facts and realities of what's happening in our nation. Because you can't get away from right and wrong. You know it's not right. Can't be right. A man sells 99 high-powered rifles. Repeat. AK-47s. He bought 99 inside of 2 weeks and said, I'm buying them for myself. Why was there not a red flag? Why is there not an alarm? Well, yeah, because it's legal, you know, oh, well, you know, Earl, it's legal. It's not against the law. Why is it not against the law? Well, you have a Second Amendment right. We have a right to bear arms. Yes. Didn't say you have a right to bear an army, one person, of weapons. 844-967-2789 is the number. You don't have to take my word for any of this. I gave you the places where this information is right there for all of you. It's where I got it. Today's USA Today. Today's the Washington Post. I didn't come up with the information. The information is there for the world to see. And the fact that they have printed it, means that they wanted people to know. And they can't figure out themselves why it's still legal. 844-967-2789. Up next, Dr. Craig and Citizen Action on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time live from Kopke's greenhouse outside of Oregon, Wisconsin, talking planting and also the bug guy, cicadas, all that and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.